And we're back again. Welcome to Pumpcast, brought to you by me, Gurda Singh, and him, Omar Rashid, where we talk all things pump.
Yep, so whether something is pure pumpage or poor pump, we got it all covered. So sit back, relax, and welcome to Pump City.
I'm not rich. I'm just making the cut.
Listen, I dyed my hair yesterday for this, so I shut up.
Yeah, you never.
I didn't dye my hair. Did you not see my pictures?
Dyed your hair for this?
I never dyed it. I had to dye it anyway, but I thought I'd dye it for today. But did you not see the pictures in the ABCC?
That's what I'm saying. You were at a networking event early this week. You're looking like, bro, literally, I know you saw your caption. You were like, oh, I did some painting. Yeah. Bro. Yeah, you dropped the bucket on your head.
And I dyed it yesterday. I thought, okay, I'm coming to see you today. Coming to do the recording.
No offense, but I can still see a fair few whites.
Yeah, I've not got... That's the lighting. It's the lighting. Plus, I've not gone to a salon. I've just done it DIY home job in the...
Yeah, are you just for men?
Yeah, standard. Yeah,
come on, just for men. Let's get us a sponsorship deal, man. Come on, support the podcast. Omar uses you every week, bro. You know what I mean?
Can we
increase the strength, though? Because
it's not every week. It's
Can we increase the strength? He asked for jet black.
Yeah, but you know what it is? This is proper Asian, yeah? Obviously, you get the packet. You get the whole, the equipment.
Yeah.
And they probably expect you to use it once. All of the liquid.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, you being a true Asian,
I get about three, four samples out of it. So maybe but listen,
it's not Robinson's squash, bro. You just use it once at a time.
Mate, proper Asian fire jet. Yeah. And I did it yesterday. It was like the shampoo had like literally finished, so you just put a little bit more water in, give it a good shake, and I just thought, okay, that will do. That will
resourceful man.
That's what. Yeah, people laugh here. These are like
tricks of the trade, bro.
Innovative.
Innovative, 100%.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Innovative, resourceful solutions to increase sustainability within our economy.
Yeah. Listen, the shampoo that my wife wants to buy, these Pantene and stuff like that, not cheap.
Yeah, they're not cheap, man.
£6-8 from Asda or whatever. Yeah, they're not cheap. Even like just for men, it's like £6-7. I'm like, hang on a second.
Power of the brand, bro.
Huh?
Power of the brand.
Yeah. But listen, I saw something.
Go on.
And this is social media. It's just disgusting.
Oh, look, talk to me.
In the sense of
media.
In the sense of like, you know, if you see one ad on Facebook and you click on it, wow, it's like all of a sudden next brands come up and like just bombarding me on social media. I'll give you one example. I looked at mics. Just generally, I was just looking at a mic.
Yeah.
I might have done a Google search on mic or whatever. All of a sudden,
what kind of mics we're talking? Audio recording mics.
Yeah. Like you
clarify that. Like, you're looking at men called Mike.
No. You're looking at Dave. It was like, you know, your Roadmaster mics and your podcast.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, within 24 hours, when I've gone onto Facebook, every sponsored ad nearly is like this mic, sort of stuff. But anyway, there's this new shampoo, which is literally for dyeing your hair.
Okay.
And I'm thinking.
Right, okay.
I just need to see it a few more times because basically it's like a shampoo. So you're just there, you just wash it all over your head, put it all over your head, like, you know, like you would do your wash and go and whatever.
Yeah.
And then after 5 minutes, wash it off, and that's it. Your hair is jet black.
What if you get on your skin and that?
But I'm sure you wash off, innit?
Yeah.
You'd wash it off. And I'm not going to like put it all over my face. You'd be a bit conscious, don't you? But I need to find one. So I saw it on Amazon because some of these are like American in dollars. And you're a bit skeptical.
This is the thing, man. Like Facebook and Amazon and stuff. That stuff, it's always dodgy. See it on Twitter. It's great. Like, it looks great. The concept looks great of these products, but it's just like, ugh.
It's like, have you seen this trimmer? There's this trimmer that keeps on coming up on my Facebook.
Welcome to QVC podcast. Jeez. So what are you doing?
From Sieg talking about your bug all the way to this. But this, well, very quickly before we get properly started.
Yeah.
There's this beard trimmer thing.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called. It's just the way they advertise it, it is sick. Like proper, like sharp to trim it up your hair and your beard and stuff like that. And it's one of those things, I need a few more touch points.
Need a few more touch points. You need to see a bit more to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm getting
I
that.
Go to that.
Click. Buy it out.
Oh, man. Omar. Episode 20.
Is it 20?
20.
Wow.
That's mad, isn't it?
Can you not show it? Because I've got the mic on.
Sorry, quite, yeah. Yeah, quite got the headphones in.
Yeah, headphones on. Sorry, yeah.
I'm excited, man.
Episode 20. Man.
Just a bit of a milestone.
I would have thought 25 was more of a milestone.
Why?
Just like a quarter.
Quarter of a century.
Yeah. No one says, bro. No one talks about a fifth of a century.
It's just every random, every 10, isn't it? Every 10, you're like, ooh.
So we're just going to bypass 25 then?
Oh, you can do something. What, you want to bring a cake in or something? What do you mean?
Bismillah bakery cake. Cake, bake, cakes.
I'll tell you what. Should we try getting a guest in for our 25th?
Oh.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
Oh.
What's that? 1 to 5 weeks. What's 5 weeks. Gonna be in like middle of October.
Middle of October. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. First guest, 25th.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah?
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I'll let you organize it.
Now let's just do intense. Let's just do it. Okay. Cool.
What's going on? What's been happening with you this week? Talk to me. Give me your bumps.
My bumps.
Give me all your bumps.
Right. First the bumps. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
First of all, semi-flop bump was me and my mates had planned a trip to Alton Towers. Trip to Alton Towers was supposed to be this Wednesday. Now, obviously, there was five of us that was going to go.
Yeah. Very diverse names there.
Hang on. Yeah, the only Muslim one. Yeah. How many was it? Five or six of us?
6 35 plus year olds, yeah. 35 to 45.
Five of us here. There was five of us. No. Six of us. There was six of us that was going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we planned this like whilst the Euros were on because we linked up. I remember we was watching Italy, Switzerland, and we were talking about it. Yeah, let's go. All time sex, whatever. And then two of them flopped. Like,
average standard happened.
One of them was like, I had mixed feelings because one guy was very much. Look, for me to take a day off after falling sick. So from a friend point of view, I was a bit disappointed that he wasn't willing to fall in sick. From a HR point of view, I was like, yeah, that's the model employee. That's good. I can't be like really pushing him or supporting him to fall in sick. Do you know what I mean? It was a bit awkward. So he was like, fine. And then this other mate, apparently got a new job. And then it was difficult for him to get annual leave. So fine, we were down to four.
Won't you all just go on the weekend?
No, the whole purpose of us going this week was the school kids were back, the colleges were back. It would have been dead. Queuing up, no nothing.
Yeah,
if you go on a weekend, there's no point. Might as well go whenever.
So
we're down to four, and which is fine. We're going one car, still four of us, no awkwardness. You know, someone's odd one out sitting on the rides or whatever. You can double up or four up or whatever. Even number, nice, easy.
Yeah.
Two for one ticket sorted, you know.
Oh, not, yeah.
Yeah.
Pass that voucher.
Yeah. And then about a week ago, just about 10 days, 11 days before one of my mates gets COVID, and he's bad. And we were like counting down, okay, when's your 10 days up? And it was like literally the Tuesday, the day before. So we were like proper desi, like if you're all right, that's fine. You know, we'll still go.
Yeah.
But as it closely got, and we never booked the tickets, as it closely got, unfortunately, he was like really, really bad.
He was bad.
Snap. Not bad to get into hospital sort of stuff, but he was like bad with his coughing, his breathing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Then there's another guy who, again, he's a contractor. He was like, look, I've already booked a train ticket. I can still cancel. So we just thought, okay, you know, we cancel it. No problem. It's cancelled. You know, the more important things in life. Even though I never acted like that, I was like proper. I told half the world. You told me.
Yeah. You say on the podcast.
Yeah. They don't understand. So this was all on Sunday evening that had just gone right, and then I just thought I'm doing the gardening. I'm like miffed, whatever. And I just
you're
thought
disappointed I'm in life.
Proper disappointed in life.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm cutting the grass. Just cut me with me as well. Just ready to lie down and get the lawnmower all over me. That. And then you know what? I just thought, you know what? Forget it. Sunday evening, I knew the weather was going to be banging. My kids actually had Monday off, so they didn't go. My son went back to Tuesday, and my daughter Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I just went in. I stopped halfway through the grass, and I just went in, and I said to my wife, "I go, you're going to work tomorrow?" She goes, "Yeah." I go, "Could you take the day off?" Now, this is really interesting.
Yo. Careful what you say on the podcast. Don't incriminate her.
Actually, that's true, isn't it?
I'll cut that shit out.
Okay, so I said, look, you know, no, because they know. Actually, no, that's fine. They know that she went to work. But what was interesting, she said no because she thought it was something personal for me. So she was like, no, I can't take a day off tomorrow. It's too late. But when I said to her, I go, well, what if we go drink at my nap? We go with the kids or whatever. Mate, her tune just changed.
Yeah, okay.
That's no problem. Quickly book it. She even said, book it now. I'll send a message and that's it. I'm like thinking, next time when I want to do something personal, I've got an event on the evening. Can you change? And she's like, no.
She thought you were going to say, oh yeah, I gotta go to like an event or a meeting, and so
this was Sunday evening, and then whatever, and then Monday morning I sent a message out to all my clients. They were all understanding, they were all great, they were like, yeah, go enjoy yourself, wicked, you big
kid. You told them you're going to Drayton Manor.
Yeah.
Yo, that's, I respect that, man.
I was like, look, impromptu, really sorry, but I've got couple of staff that can cover me, whatever, yeah. You know, whatever. But if it's an emergency, I've got my phone with me, whatever.
Did you have meetings?
No meetings. It was a clear day. But sometimes, you know, you get phone calls, emails, whatever, blah blah blah. And then I went direct on it, and it was so good. It was baking hot, but
Baking Dave,
proper biking.
Yeah.
It was really good. We went on the rides, went on Shockwave, whatever.
Monday was sick when I was sitting in the office doing my job like normal people. Yeah, it was a great weather. Yeah.
it was dead. I mean, look, some rides we went on, when it parked back up, no one was queued up, and we just said to the guy, look, can we just stay on? And they're like, yeah, stay on.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and that's the reason we go. That's the reason we go when school kids are gone, the colleges are gone, or
Asian
whatever.
Asian vibes. Do you know what I mean? You go off peak.
But I'll tell you one thing, G, when I came back home, we stayed right to the end until it closed, because it closed at 4 o'clock. Half four closed because it's off peak. By the time I got home, I was dead.
Shattered.
I was dead. Yeah. I was lying on the sofa and the remote was on the floor. I actually said to my daughter, can you just give me the remote? Because I could not even just like scooch down or whatever. I'm getting too old for this. I was like, but then I thought to myself, no, it's the weather combination. You know, you're in the, you know.
Yeah, you are old as well, though, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But, being honest.
But that was one personal pump, so really, really good. And the second one's a little bit exciting.
Okay.
A little bit exciting.
Hit me.
It's 99% certain, right? It's pending a little bit of training. It's just pending 99% confirmation of the time slot and whatever. But I'm gonna have a radio show on Unity FM. I was just like, so what the hell was that? I would have just.
Yeah. One second. Let me see if we got here. That's it. That's the one.
Adoken. Oh, Street Fighter.
Yo, congratulations, bro.
But quick question: are you a Roy or a Ken?
I'm a Ryu, bro.
Ryu, and people just say Ken, yeah.
Nah, man. No. Ken is the American knockoff version. Ryu's the original Japanese. That's, you know,
it,
what I mean?
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be called the Business Hour, Unity FM. So I'm just going to go through some training around Ofcom and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I'm kind of... I'm apprehensive, but I'm also excited.
No, that's fantastic, man. Congratulations, bro.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. You deserve this, mate. You deserve this. This is it's really exciting. It's really exciting. We kind of, when we started the podcast, we were talking about it. We were like, oh, what if? So the fact that you've actually, like, you know, took it the next step and just
started the next stage. Do you want to share with people that I did ask you to be a co-host and what your response was?
Yeah.
Racist.
No, I weren't racist. God, give them the full story, innit? Give the full story if you're going to put me out there.
So Unity FM, yeah, the majority of the listenership is Muslims.
How did you describe it to me? The radio show?
Just literally that.
Just, yeah, you use the term.
Muslimic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. And you were like, oh, do you want to join? And I was like, I'm not sure about that. It's not more so my views. It's more so listener views. Imagine, like, yo.
They have diversity. See, this is the thing about diversity. And this is the thing. Look, we're our worst own enemy. Mm. We'll criticize the white man. Yeah. Why are you not diverse or whatever?
It's true, man.
But this is the similar sort of thing.
Yeah,
why, you know, I'm trying to be diverse and you're a bit like,
No, but I'm happy to be diverse, like, bro.
But all you're thinking
I'm not thinking
because Unity FM also.
But I know there's people out there that are gonna be. I will get negative comments. I will get a negative look. People will say, "Why are you doing this?"
You sell out.
No, not me. People will be saying probably to Unity or to you, like, "Why are you? No, why is he with this?"
They've got non.
No, I think that would happen. I think that would happen personally.
They've got a couple of non-Muslim
Nobody says to me, why? I've told you, there's only one person that's actually said, why are you, hanging around? Why are you doing things with Omar? He's a bad influence. No, I'm joking. But it's more like, why are you doing this? Because, Muslim thing. Only one person's ever said it to me. Nobody else ever does. But I just think, like, look at Twitter, look at social media. There's some stupid people out there. There's some stupid, idiotic people that will look at it and think, oh, why is he on there? Like, and it's one of them. It's like, if it's a platform for specific people, let's say necessarily, it's not, but it is it's dedicated towards a certain demographic. There'll be people out there of that demographic saying, well, I could do a better job than him, and why is he on there, and all that sort of stuff. So it's like, why put yourself under the microscope when you don't need to? You know what I mean? Like, keep it easy, man. But
fair news.
The fact that you got it, all I got to say is...
God, you should move you away from the buttons. On.
Do you know how big of a Street Fighter fan I am? I'm massive, bro.
Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat?
Street Fighter.
I never really got into Mortal Kombat.
I did love Mortal Kombat. I think the actual game, probably Mortal Kombat, but Street Fighter had all the energy, bro.
Yeah,
like,
man.
The ad-libs. Come on, every character had an ad-lib.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I liked about Mortal Kombat, it just when it said, finish him. That was it.
Fatality.
That was it. Well, other than that, it was just like, they don't make games like that anymore.
They don't, you know. Now it's just like games that take over your life. Like Fortnite and stuff, they're just like, oh, it never ends. Like, stuff never ends. Yeah. It's just like, it's never ending games. Yeah.
But yeah, that's my good bump.
That's great, man. Fantastic.
What about you, mate?
Fantastic. Nothing crazy. You know what? I don't know. It's a bit of a personal bump, but it's not nothing like, ooh, something I've achieved or anything. But I had a bit of an inspirational moment this week. And I was like, oh, this is really like, this is cool. I went to him because of, like, you know, the nature of my job and our industry that we work in. I went to an expo this week. I went to a rail expo.
Like Thomas the Tank Engine rail expo. Yeah. No, you tell about Drake, my name.
Thomas weren't there, bro.
What about Gordon? What about Percy? What about Henry?
Henry. Henry's a red runner.
Yeah. No, James. That's James.
James. Yeah. Bloody hell, man. You know all of them. Relax, bro. Someone would think you watch it.
Used to.
So it was like the celebrating manufacturers and, you know, within the rail industry, them coming showcase and all that. And I was there walking around, like looking at opportunities, but more so looking at getting for inspiration. And they're walking. All of a sudden, I don't know if you know who this is, but he's quite revered in the Sikh community. He's quite well known in the Sikh community. All of a sudden, I'm walking, and I hear over the tannoy, ladies and gents, the future focus talk will be in 10 minutes. Our keynote speaker is Tan Desai. Tan Singh Desai. He's basically an MP for representing Slough, and he's the Shadow Rail Minister. He's the first turban Sikh in Parliament. So I was like, I heard that. As your eyes roll.
You know the reason I hate that?
Yeah, go on.
And I'll say it the same for when I hear it, or the first hijabi barrister or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Why? Why do we need to go down that route for? Why do we need to?
Mate, I disagree with you, man. That's a big thing. The whole turban thing. Because
it takes away the fact that
he's actually good at his job.
Yeah.
It puts an asterisk next to him.
Yeah. That, you know, like, if you never had the turban and you was normal brown, and compared to, let's say, someone like Dave. Dave might have got it, but because you got just a turban on or a hijab on or whatever, we give you that little bit, and it's bump-worthy news for
us. Yeah, I suppose. That's the only thing. That's their, like, diversity tick box. Yeah, yeah. I get that. I understand that. But
take away nothing from their skills, but potentially.
I think I know. I've actually seen other, like, turbaned candidates run in the past, and they haven't got it. So I know he's got it because of who he is. And the reason why I was more like, I heard his name, I was like, yo... He was, without getting too political, he was quite vocal about the whole farmers' protest, about Sikh issues with India, English, England relations. Like, he was very vocal about all of this stuff.
Is he that MP that's also has had a couple of rants in the House of Parliament?
Yeah.
Is it that guy?
That's the boy. Yeah.
He's a legend.
I saw that. I heard that, and I was like, wow. You know, it sounds so cheesy, but you know when, like, things are meant to happen, kind of thing. You're like, oh, like, I was meant to be there, and he was meant to be there. There's a picture.
Yes, him. Okay.
Why with Tandesi?
Okay, that's We get there.
Wait to the remember when we were at an expo and we hosted a networking event at an expo for Lord Curran Billamoria. Got to put it out there, you know. we'll be hosting shows for lords, you know what I'm saying? And
there's only one lord. Allah. Okay. Yo, just
relax, man. Is that Unity FM? Relax. But basically, so we make our way over to there. I look and I thought, and you know what? Before even I was walking around the expo, not many Sikhs.
Which where was not the expo?
NEC.
Oh, NEC.
Not very diverse. Yeah. So I was like, I walk in, pure audience is just one type, yeah?
Middle-aged white
men, yeah.
Not even women.
Few women.
Okay.
And I was there like, okay. Some like younger guys, glasses, nerdy type. I was like, okay. So I'm there thinking, all right. This is crazy. Like, I'm going to be the first thing. So, you know what? Let me get up close and personal. So, I went and sat like the third row in. So, I went and sit down. And to be fair, I was kind of getting excited because I saw him there. I was like, ooh, that's there he is. Like, he's talking. And I was getting excited because he was talking about, like, it sounds geeky, but I'm getting into sustainability and stuff. And he was talking about that because it's quite a big topic. And he was talking about other stuff. And he gets up. And the first thing, the trademark Sikh thing, the trademark turban to turban Sikh thing, he gets up, looks around the room, sees me. Nods his head, smiles. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I was automatically gassed. I was like, yeah, my boy.
You should just gotten kicked down.
I would have if you could have heard me. But then I was just like, yeah, man. Like, I was like, just excited. Everything he was saying after that, I was just like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, now he finishes the talk. Great talk as well, to be fair. Great talk. I go over to him. I said, what are you doing on the 29th of September? Can we get you to keynote for the Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
No, I said, yo, fan, that was a great talk. Thank you very much. Like, I was a bit like starstruck.
Starstruck.
And he was like, no, it's great. Thanks for coming. Like, I really appreciate seeing another Sikh guy here. I was like, wow. Like, this guy literally did the whole Sikh thing with me. And I was like, that's mad. Like, I was just a bit like taken away. So that was it, man. I was just a bit excited by that. I was like, oh, this is cool, man. Like, it's good to be in, like, it's good seeing representation in it. That's always cool, like, to see. Don't get me wrong, I would never want to be a politician. And I respect people that want to do that for the right reasons. Because we got, you know, we got your others, we got your Sajid Javids and your Preeti Patels and your Rishis doing it for their own reasons.
Don't knock Rishi.
I don't knock him.
Mm. Anyway, let me move on. I don't get into that. Yeah. Been through this, let's move on.
Do you want to go there, man? No. Do you want to go there? So, yeah, that's my personal pump of the week, man.
Good stuff. Okay, general good pump, yeah?
Yeah, let's talk value, man. People keep telling me, where's the value? Give me something valuable.
Okay, you know what? I want to get your thoughts on this.
Go on.
So I was going through a bit of a spring clean or a late summer clean or early
Everybody's
autumn.
Doing that, you know. I was decorating yesterday, to be fair.
That's not really a clean, that's just decoration.
Cleaning and decorating. Everyone's doing it. Well, what? Yo.
Anyway, I was going through a spring clean and like I come across... So with the franchise, you know, when I went on the Discovery Day,
when you first became a franchisee.
Well, when I was looking at becoming potentially a franchisee, so I went there, and looking through the booklet, looking through the stuff, and one of the things that they gave a stat was 60% of new startups fail within the first 2-3 years, and I remember being there thinking, wow, that is a quite a startling number, and it might even be higher than that now. And what I got thinking was. On the other hand, I heard about the last 6 to 12 months, loads of people in lockdown, A, have been made redundant, and then B, at the back of it, thought, okay, let's just start a new business. Do you know what I mean? And I just wanted to ask you, because you've probably been in that situation, and I'll share you my experience, but when you're a startup, what do you think is the most hardest thing to do?
You know what? It's interesting. I can share my experience as well because I've actually started up a business and I'm semi-involved in it, but I'm not really functioning at the minute. So I could kind of say, so I can kind of share my experience. But
so, have you failed before you
could
start?
You could probably say that. Okay. But it's still operating, so I'm probably not. I mean, I don't know. But the reason why I can share my experience. I said it to you. I never got into business to become like this crazy entrepreneur and businessman and loads of money. My only passion was advertising and marketing. There's no other way for me to get into it. Mm. So I just set up my business. You know what I mean? Like, and I just set it up and I went that way. So I think that's probably a contributing factor. The fact that people aren't actually just doing it for business, but want.
So there was no, let's say, psychological pressure on you. That mental pressure.
There was a lot of pressure because I was like, it has to kind of work. It still had to work. Otherwise, like, if I couldn't make it work, then I weren't being able to do what I wanted to do. So it kind of put more pressure on me because I was like, well, if this doesn't work, this isn't the field for me.
Mm.
So there was a lot of pressure on that. And I think what we've talked about a lot of times, yeah, in the podcast. And I think it's why the reason why people go into business, I think that is the major contributing factor. These, you get all these like Gary Vaynerchuk's and Grant Cardone's, these big influencers talk about it. It's like you have to be a certain type to be an entrepreneur or a managing director or a CEO of a business. It's not for everybody. Mm. It definitely isn't for everybody. I don't think it's for me, to be honest, because you've got to be this forward-thinking person. You've got to be this holistic person that thinks about everything. You've got to be able to take the good with the bad. You can't be risk adverse. I'm not very risk adverse. I'm very like safe. I don't like playing a lot of risks. So there's a lot of that goes into it. And I think the whole, like, to have that whole table of skills, not everybody has that. Mm. And people just jump into things. A good idea doesn't mean it's a good business. A good logo doesn't make a good business. A good, like, you know, brand or whatever doesn't necessarily make a good business. There's a lot of elements that go into that. One thing that I feel startups don't have that, and I think this is a problem with the government, they don't have the support to actually pull in people from other factions of businesses. For instance, like if they need an accountant, if they need somebody, a marketing help, they don't instantly have that support because it could be a financial thing. Like for instance, accountancy is a big one. Like when somebody starts to start a business, they'll go around looking for an accountant, and I reckon they can be quickly outpriced because it's just like people are just saying, chucking stupid numbers in the air. Whereas like they just need a bit of support to start off with.
Mm.
You know, a business that's making nothing and they're getting quotes of like, yeah, it's $2,000 to file your accounts and do this and do that. It's just like, it's a bit off-putting and it's very closed in. There's certain sectors of business is very closed in where they can't kind of penetrate it and get some real information. And I think the government needs to do a lot of that. When I first set up, I went into an open, similar like you're saying, the franchise opened. I went to an open day offers business support. And he said, the guy said the same thing. He said, why are you getting into business? Like he was asking that question like a number of times. And it was like, is it because you got a great idea? Or is it because you can't find a job in the industry? Or is it because, and I think there's a variety of reasons and that's what it is. I think that's what, once somebody realizes what the reason it is they were going to do it or not going to do it, that's when they either pass or fail in making a successful business.
Mm.
My opinion.
Mm. For me, G, it was, and I reckon it's probably glaringly obvious, but for me it was sales. I'd come from working as an employee, going straight into, okay, now I'm effectively a salesperson.
Yeah.
Never sold in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd like, yeah, the odd little thing here and there. Do you want to buy my phone off me or whatever sort of stuff? You know, that's, you know, stuff. Yeah. But sales, and the thing is, it's sales.
Massive process. Where, it's one of the hardest things.
Yeah. And you're not selling a product. You can't take a nice, flashy picture of it or whatever.
Service.
It's a service. And I think that was my biggest stumbling block. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a master salesperson. I'm not. I can still learn. I still want to learn. But I think that's the biggest. I think that's the biggest one. And I think sometimes people, there's so many factors. So many people might talk around, okay, but to get into a sales position, you need to market yourself. You need to get out there. And then you start digging into marketing. Oh my God, do you do mail campaigns? Do you do whatever? Yeah. All your social media, then it's social media. Okay, which platform? All of that. But then to do that, that costs money. Then you go back to, okay, what's your cash flow like? And then it's like, okay, do you know what I mean?
Open a can of worms.
Yeah, okay, I can't pay for that. Okay, networking. Okay, going out networking. How the hell do I network? Never networked in my life. Go to an event. I'm just sitting there in the corner. Got nothing out of it. Wasted 2 hours. What's the point of that? Can I carry on doing that for 6 months or whatever? There's just so much facets. Do you know what I mean? You can't really, really pinpoint. But you're right. I think, where's your starting point?
It's funny, like you said that, like for instance, marketing, like what I'm trying to say is like people, you go in, you think, you see other things, people do certain things and you're like, oh, I want to do that. And you go and speak to a marketer and it's this closed kind of industry and they'll give you this price and you're like, hold on, that's just crazy. Like, I don't know if that's going to work. That's a lot of money. And is that going to work for me and all that sort of stuff? And you start asking all these questions and you're right, it's a starting point. And I think for me, from what I've seen, and a lot of it's because working as a marketer now, there's a lot, you do a lot of research into businesses and what makes them tick and what, well, not businesses, but your own business and what makes, how can you get that sale? Because obviously marketing leads to sales and sales is all about having conversations. The many more conversations you have, the more chance you have. So it's like, first you got to look at like, the crux of it is, what are you selling? Where, what are you selling Because what are you, why is your business around? What is your business here to do? What is it? Who is it benefiting? Who is it going to help? Boom, that's that. What? How does the product help? Bang, that's that. So you realize who your target audience is. And I think that's where you kind of, in terms of a marketing sales perspective, that's where it kind of, that's where the basic of the basic is things occur. Because you know who you are, you know why you're around, you know what you want to do for people or businesses, then you know what your business gains, what the business is buying your service or product gets from it, what value it brings to them, and how it can better their life. And then from there, you're able to know, you know, the value proposition of your services and products in your business, and you know, the actual service itself, your target demographic. You can then start doing a lot of market analysis of that and marketing analysis of that, and then it gives you an indication of what to do and what not to do. I think with yourself, what your story that you're saying is, it's a lot of trial and error. And man, that's what business is. It's trial and error.
But I think the other thing is, who's there to guide you? Because sometimes when you're there, it's a very, very lonely world.
Trust me.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you might come up with a great idea, great support, great service. You might find a little niche or a little gap or whatever. But if you've never been in that world, if you just come from an employee, you might even be one of these sharp graduates that whilst you're, you know, very technology, when you're researching, some people, they tell you, look, we've just come by stumbling because I needed something. I went to try and get it. No one can do it. And therefore I realized actually there's a gap in the market. You know, sometimes you just
stumble across it.
So, but who's there to support you? I don't know. People might be shouting, oh, I'm a business coach. Me. The accountant might say, oh, me.
Can we trust you?
I don't know about a trust thing.
That's the thing. There's a lot of business consultants, accountants, and all that stuff.
Business consultants, yeah.
They want to make a quick buck. And so, like, can these new guys, these vulnerable people that are setting up a business, can they trust these people? And I think that's where, like, the government kind of needs to step in a little bit and provide proper support. If they're talking about, you know, we want to be this great exporting nation and we want to be able to kind of stand on our 2 feet because of the Brexit situation and all of that, and the complications COVID has, you know, brought up. There needs to be more support. And I'm not just talking funding. Mm. That funding stuff is getting a bit boring now. It's like, yeah, we've got funding. It's not, people just need to sit down with somebody and actually get that support and say, you know what, let's build you a framework. Let's build you a path to, like, you know, to get you set up to starting your own business. And I think there are some organizations that can do that, but there's still a lot of help that can be given to businesses. And the unfortunate thing is as well is if your business isn't deemed sexy, unfortunately, you're not, you know, the doors get closed. You know what I mean? If you're an exporting tech business, world's your oyster. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a bit unfair in that respect.
But it's just something I got thinking. And like, alhamdulillah, it's been over the 3 years I've grown. I think my sales process has got a little bit better. Some of it is actually like, and you know, see, the other biggest thing I really, really struggled with, pricing. Because at the start, you're very much like, you might sell something for £100, but if someone says, I'll pay 70 for it, very, very easily you're there, okay, fine. Because straight away you're thinking, okay, at least that's £70.
Yeah.
£70 compared to nothing. Do you know what I mean? And I've done it. I've actually probably, let's say, undersold some of my services, sort of thought, because some of it, and now it's like, but then loads of people told me, look, don't do it, stick to your guns, whatever. And it's difficult because you're thinking, okay, that's been another month and I've got nothing in. That's another month where, okay, I've got to invest in that. That's another month of that bill now coming through. And you're like,
how can I do this for?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the most...
That's a killer when you're trying to price it.
Yeah.
I've been there, I'm like, oh, I just need to get a campaign. I need to get cabs running there. I need to get a campaign out. I need to use this as a case study. Somebody's saying they want it for free. Should I just do it with them? Should I just get it out there? Or if I work with this person, it'll be bigger for me. Like, and you end up getting this rabbit hole. And that's one thing I hate. And this is synonymous with Asian businesses as well. I keep bashing them, but the whole contra thing. No, but the whole contra thing, the whole like, I don't want to spend anything, but I want that. I used to get it so much in taxi advertising. Everybody wants their ad on a cab. It looks brilliant. It looks great. But then you hit them with a quote and they're just like, wow, that's ridiculous. It's just like, well, I'll tell you what's ridiculous. The fact that you're not judging your business and actually realizing that this is what you need and you're just seeing everybody else do it and then jumping on it and then getting shocked at the price. And I think that's what it is. I think it's a case of, just knowing who you are, knowing what your business is, knowing what you want,
yeah,
and not just kind of going for it all. I think that's why businesses, startup businesses, are, you know, unfortunately. Yeah.
And that's what it was, dude. This week, obviously, like I said, going through Spring Clean, I saw that start and I was like, wow. And, you know, hopefully, look, if there's mans out there, look, don't be put off with what we said. You know, go for it. But, you know, the biggest thing is you got to persevere with it.
Don't regret it. Never regret it.
I don't regret it 100% as well.
Here's a question for you, because I think this is a bit of value. Like, what was your thought process behind becoming a franchisee? Because I think that's really interesting. I think, like, is it next month the franchise exhibition's coming to town, to Birmingham? I think at that time of the year, franchising becomes like a hot topic.
Okay.
So, like, what was your process? What was your experience of becoming a franchisee? Would you suggest
For me, I dabbled a little bit before I went into it, in the sense of, so when I got made redundant, I was contracting, which in itself is a way of being self-employed, isn't it, to an extent. And then I got headhunted for a job, which was fine. But then very quickly it was like, look, it just wasn't for me. Nothing against them or anything like that. It just wasn't for me at that time. And then I was thinking about, okay, look, I want to go back to contracting, but do I really want to rely on recruitment agencies finding me the work? And I didn't quite know how recruitment agencies really, really worked. It was stuff like, if I said I wanted £200 a day, actually, I could have got £300 a day because that's what they were charging that company, and they were making a lot more out of me. Maybe they took advantage of me or whatever. I don't know. But I wanted to kind of move away from it. And at that point, I was thinking, okay, for me to do that, I need to obviously have a website, need to have a brand, I need to have my own service, I need to have my own pricing, all of that sort of stuff. So I was thinking about all of that. And then I came across the franchise and I went on this discovery day and I realized actually they were offering all of that.
Yeah.
They had all of that and the brand and everything. But the biggest thing was they offered the support network around it. And I will always say, at the moment, I feel like I'm in the best of both worlds. Sometimes when I need to be and I need to have that support, I feel like I'm an employee of a larger organisation because I can go and call upon and have that support. But then at the same time, at times, I have that independence, freedom to be that entrepreneurial business and whatever and do stuff on my own sort of stuff. So that, but the biggest thing was it was that support network. And actually, when I realised, actually, okay, if I'm going to pay for a website, I'm going to pay for my phone bill, I'm going to pay for the branding and all of that sort of stuff, it's going to cost XYZ. Whereas actually they're giving me this as part of that. And, you know, the other thing is, because I'm territory-based, that kind of worked for me because I was like, okay, if someone rings up in London, do I really want to do the HR? No, I don't. Do I really want to drive down to London? No, I don't. People might contact me in Manchester. No, I don't.
So you had the network that startups don't have? You had that support system that startups don't have? And that's like kind of like you have that extra kind of support. What's your biggest tips and don't do's for people that want to get into franchising? Become a franchisee?
I think do your due diligence around how much support they will actually give you. And one thing I did was part of my due diligence was I actually spoke to other licensees, other people, and I spoke to them at different part of the journey. So they were very open and happy with that. So I spoke to someone who'd just been in 1 year, and I spoke to a couple of people who've been there long term. Then I did a little bit of research on LinkedIn just to have a look at how many of these licensees there are and how many people had been there. And what I found was there's a lot of people. So basically, you've got a choice to renew after 3 years. I found a lot of people were already in their renewal. So I was thinking, okay, more often than not, people are sticking around. More often than not, they are renewing. And that kind of gave me a bit of confidence that the model that they're proposing, as long as you do it, it works. So I think, so that was the big thing for me. So what I'd say to you is, look, don't rush into it. Do your due diligence as much as you can. And I suppose the other biggest thing is go in there with no regrets. Go in with, okay, I want to give it my all. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I tried it. But if you're already going in something and you've got some doubts about it, you're going to be on the back foot. You're already thinking about your exit. You're already thinking about plan B. You're already
can't be in something 100%.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's probably the advice I would give someone.
Interesting. It's worked out well for you, hasn't it? I mean, you've obviously enjoyed it. I think the main thing, you've probably enjoyed it over the past 3 years, is it?
Yeah, I'm in my fourth year.
Wow.
Coming to the end of my fourth year. My fifth year will start 1st of Jan.
That's amazing.
Yeah, man.
That's amazing, man. Yeah, man.
Anyway, I'm gonna rattle off my good ball pump, and then you then over to you. Because you always had to go at me, or you don't prepare or whatever.
You don't prepare though.
Yeah, there's a proper preparation now.
I got some proper HRV stuff, you know.
Yeah, I just want to go. good bump for me last night, Emma Raducanu.
Raducanu,
first female Grand Slam winner in millions of years. Okay, not millions of years, but you know what I mean. In about 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
I've seen the first female Grand Slam winner.
Since, for British.
British. Oh, okay,
for 30, 40, 50 years or whatever.
Is it?
Yeah. And you know what? You know what? How good bump this is? You know how much bumpage this is? I am struggling to think of a single solo bigger achievement than what she's done.
At 18 years old?
Just in at any age.
18, I've got to say at 18, because obviously that's we've seen.
You know,
people
like people
have,
like people talked about. I've heard Mike Tyson being world champion at 21.
That's the biggest one. No. That's
Tiger Woods winning. You know, his first golf major at 21. No,
okay, so that's the conversation we're having.
Yeah,
you're putting her up against greats. Like that's you're trying to
achievement.
Say,
achievement. The achievement.
Yeah,
not overall. I'm not saying that she's going to be like she's bigger than Mike Tyson. I'm talking about achievement. I can't think of anything bigger.
Can't co-sign that. I can't do
that's
it.
My opinion.
Mike Tyson becoming the world heavyweight world champion at 21. Biggest achievement.
Nah.
No, has it still hasn't been broken. And it's been over 30 years.
This girl, do you remember in Wimbledon when Piers Morgan was having to go at someone's mental health, that they're losers, that they're quitters and this and that?
Wasn't that
it was about her.
It was Emma Raducanu, wasn't it?
Yeah. So when you look at 2-3 months ago, that's where she was. To think about this is her second Grand Slam, to think that she had to come through qualify. She's ranked like 150, 200 in the world. She's come through qualifiers.
Hey, fantastic
she's gone
achievement.
All through without even dropping a set.
Fantastic achievement.
I can't see anything.
Fantastic. But
that's bigger than
but
my...
It's my opinion.
You can't, but that's my opinion.
It's a fantastic achievement. Yeah. And hats off to Emma Raducanu. I think it's amazing what she's done and achieved. Brilliant. At 18 years old,
did Mike Tyson become world champion in his second, third fight?
It works differently with... It works differently with boxing. You know who gets a title fight at that at the second, third fight? That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Mike Tyson was knocking out 30-year-olds at 15 years old. Mike Tyson is... Let's not get into my opinion.
Yeah.
But this is not the most single biggest sporting achievement. I'm sorry. It's not.
I'm struggling.
Hats off to Emma Raducanu. She smashed it. Absolutely amazing. Great achievement. I love the fact that she's so...
Can you stop pissing on my good pump?
Represents. I love the fact that she represents like modern Britain. You know, one thing that annoys me is that everybody's a Raducanu fan now. Like people that have never watched tennis in their life.
Shut
and they're
up,
like, oh yeah, she represents... Like, all right, so there you go.
God.
But it is not the single most biggest achievement in sporting history.
It's my opinion. That's fine. Not, that's your opinion. It's not. Your opinion.
I'm sure people can think of a way more significant sporting achievements by a single by one person.
Well, they can come to us and share. And the other thing is, what good pop was, I haven't shared this with you because I don't know, I just didn't have money. but there was this one video a girl done in Pakistan. It was
I've
all.
I seen your comment on it.
Oh, did you see my comment?
Yeah.
I just thought that was hilarious, absolutely hilarious, and it was just funny because obviously we spoke about it last week, sort of stuff. But so the video was her office, her employer sent an email out to say, "Look, we're going to come back into the office," and it's just things that she was saying. She was like, "Oh my god, they're talking about coming back to the office." It was like, "I don't understand. I now have to shower. I now have to get up. I now have to like come and see people's faces. I don't understand. Your revenue's already increased. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
I've already packed my jeans and my clothes away. I'm ready to live a life in pajamas." People who say, "Ooh, I want to go back into the office. I've seen you in toilet seats having meetings and stuff like that. Stop kidding yourself that you want to come back into the office." It was just the way she did it. It's in Urdu and everything like that. It was just hilarious.
I
don't know what her name is, whatever, but I'm giving
shout out
to her.
Yeah.
Poor bump, right? Poor bump to the Indian cricket team.
Relax yourself. No. Relax yourself.
To your people.
Bro. To my people.
It's, and this is the thing.
Yeah, I know Virat Kohli. Yeah, we're boys.
Dear.
I don't. We'll be sitting here if I knew Virat Kohli.
Do you know Harbhajan Singh?
I don't, but he was like.
Budgie.
But he was like an icon growing up. Yeah. Budgie was like
the Turbinator
guy, innit?
How did you feel about him being called the Turbinator?
I hated that, man. That was like, you know, I got into fights in school, people calling me that. And like these commentators, oh yeah, here comes the Turbinator. Like, what are you? That, you can't do that, man. That's next level. Like, that was, I always hated that. I never got that. But anyway, I always hated Monty Panesar as well. Just putting it out there.
This is all because of the IPL, and it's all because of money. And I think Kevin Peterson tweeted this. He goes, look, the sooner we realise that sport is a business, the better you will be able to deal with it. And I think he's 100% right. And the other thing that I'm giving Paul Bomb to, because again, it's a whole business decision, is the fact that Manchester United and Cristiano Ronaldo has been allowed to have his number 7 shirt back. If it was anyone else and anyone at the club, yeah, that would not have happened. It's all money. It's all, you know what I mean? It's all, you know, commercialised for United. Therefore, it's commercialised for the Premier League and all that sort of stuff. So those are my poor bumps. And I've got an undecided bump.
Oh, you're just rattling through them.
Yeah.
No. You bring it up and we discuss it. We talk about it.
Go on, bring it
so
up.
So hold on. Can you rewind? Rewind that.
Yeah.
You talked about the Indian cricket team.
Yeah.
What's your gripe?
So, one, it was okay for them to go to a book launch for Ravi Shastri. They didn't think about COVID protection there. The other players and all of that sort of stuff would go out and about and all of that sort of. Now this is like a little bit of a sniff, or maybe they haven't taken proper precautions. They've now ruined the final test match. They've let down 22,000 fans on the eve of the flipping test match starting. Okay. And why? The bigger picture is they can go home, sit down, quarantine, and the IPL and the big money starts in 19 days.
But didn't they offer to replay the match? They've offered to replay the match.
Come on,
who wants COVID No. You can't blame it. You can't blame it on IPL. And 100.
On that point, then, why couldn't they then delay the IPL? Quarantine in England for another 10 days and then play the test match?
At the end of the day, hold on. You've quoted Kevin Peterson saying, oh yeah, this is all about the money. Kevin Peterson also said, England fans, don't say a word. You did the same thing as South Africa, which cost the South Africa about 40 million.
Yeah, it's wrong.
40 million, yeah, exactly. So hold on. If you're giving India poor pump, it's the same thing with England. Yeah, it's the same thing. If anything, that was worse. What England did was probably worse.
Okay.
And India, I've said, they'll replay it. IPL, it's a massive. It's like saying delay. Would anybody delay the Premier League? Would anybody delay the Champions League over stuff like this? It wouldn't happen. Your request. No, they never.
Okay, listen. Two things.
That was a worldwide outbreak. And on top of that, what are England doing to restrict COVID? Aren't England players going around doing whatever they're doing?
Listen,
I'm not even a cricket fan. I don't know why I'm getting so emotional.
Two things. One, when it happened with England and South Africa, we weren't doing the podcast then to talk about it.
Talk about it now.
Yeah. Two, we'll obviously move on because I know it's touched a nerve with you.
No, it hasn't. I just got to defend it.
You're British, remember? Why are you getting offensive?
You're just using it as a kind of. You thought, oh, this guy's not going to know crap about cricket. Let me just go in. Let me just go in. And you've given it your back, and now you're red. You're tomato, bro. You're a tomato.
Just point it out there.
Ah! And Ronaldo and the whole money thing. Firstly, greatest player of all time.
Forget all of that crap.
Fix your face. Respect him. Watch your mouth when you talk about Ronaldo.
No.
I hated Ronaldo when he was in the Premier League at the start because he used to kill us every week. Yeah. But you know what? I saw him yesterday, bro. I don't know. I was in awe, man.
Listen, it doesn't bother me that he's not number 7. It doesn't bother me. What I'm saying is that the likelihood is it's broken rules. The rules, the guidance
what,
was 100.
Rules?
The Premier League's. The rules were there. That
no, because the numbers haven't been submitted until the... You know, the numbers get submitted until the transfer window closes.
No.
Yes, it does. The registration doesn't close until the transfer window closes.
Certain numbers have already been taken. Cavani had 7.
No, but the registration doesn't close until the transfer window closes.
The rules are broken. They've had to change. They had to submit. Anyway, it's my poor bump. Yeah, stop pissing on my poor bump. Okay. Jeremy, my poor bump. Let me be here.
I'm just poking holes in your argument.
I've just got a gripe about it.
Huh?
I've just got a gripe about it. I just think it's poor pump.
Yeah, but
that they've allowed it.
Let's address the real issue here. You hate Ronaldo. You hate United.
How do I hate Ronaldo? I'm always team Ronaldo.
You hate
Messi.
You hate United.
Yeah, standard.
Everybody hates United.
Standard. You know.
Yeah, but be honest, he was sick yesterday, didn't
he? Never watched it.
You don't watch the highlights?
No, I was watching the tennis. Watching Big Emma.
God's sake, everybody's a tennis fan now, isn't
it? I wasn't a fan. I'm just watching it.
Tell you another. But yo, before we do go, just a reminder to anybody that's listening, The Breakfast Club is back. 29th Wednesday, the 29th of September. Come in, you know, come. Yo, firstly, I'm going to put a link to the event in the description. It's our relaunch event. our relaunch event for our prestigious premium Birmingham's best breakfast networking event, and it's all free of charge. It's at 8 o'clock Wednesday, 29th September at Mailbox inside. Wait for it. Where is it? Where is it? I might tell them.
Everyman Cinema in the Mailbox.
Actually inside Everyman Cinema. So you come in at 8 o'clock, do some networking, get free breakfast, yeah? Then you network a bit more, you walk inside the cinema hall, you get a free keynote by a speaker, a prestigious speaker yet to be announced. You get rewards from our reward partners, all for free, yeah? You network some more, and you go home at 10 o'clock. Or back to work, or work from home, however you do it. But that is it. That is the Breakfast Club back again. So please, 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 book on. The link is in the description. We're doing well with the bookings, you know. We're doing well. It's the capacity is 100. Oi, talking to you. Get off your phone. The capacity is 100.
Episode's finished for me, G. This is your thing.
We're about a third way through, and we've got 4 weeks to go. Yeah, so we're doing well with the tickets and stuff. So, yeah. Book on. What else was I going to say? Shout out to Pirate Studios, as always, for housing us, for being our guys, for letting us record in the beautiful studios and this crispy, crispy audio. But hey, if you want to start podcasting yourself, if you want to give it a go, all you have to do to get a free studio session at Pirate Studios is use... Yo! You're disrespectful today, you know. You need to relax. I'm doing the end promo. Shut up and sit there in silence. If you want a free if you want a free studio session courtesy of us, podcast courtesy of Pirate Studios, all you gotta do is go into the link in the description. Not the link, sorry. Check out the referral code in the description.
No, what are you doing?
Shut up.
You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying.
Just because I'm sat next to you, you buffoon. So you go into the description, you have a referral code, grab our referral code, go into Pirate Studios, go online, use that as your promo code, and you'll get a free studio session courtesy of us and Pirate Studios. As always, thank you for listening to Pumpcast. Please follow us on all of our social channels, comment, like, subscribe to wherever you listen to the podcast, and peace. We'll see you next time
in a bit.
Yo, shout out for listening to another episode of Pumpcast. We really appreciate. Listen, go out there, subscribe to Pumpcast on every audio platform you listen to it on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We've got it on all channels. So go and show us some love, follow, subscribe, and also like, comment, and share all of our podcast-related content on all of our social media channels. You can find the links in description. Thank you.
Yep, do it. Do it. So until next time, keep the bump strong in a bit.